In a recent panel that I was part of, one of my colleagues made the statement, it's a statement we've heard over the years, a risk to one is a risk to all. And when he made that statement, I sort of cringed. But it's one of those sound bites that's been around for decades. In fact, I think I used to have it on as a banner on my my standard briefing charts. But it's one that we have got to make it so that it is no longer a true statement. We've got to get to the point where we can accept risk in certain areas and drive down risk in other areas. And that's what the risk management executive concept is all about. Identifying where we can take additional risk and save some money, identifying where we need to shore up our security protections to protect the most critical missions, and getting that balance right, but doing it in a way that makes sense with, again, going back to that expression, doing it in a way where we know for certain that we aren't accepting risk in one area and allowing that risk acceptance to put the more sensitive missions at risk. So designing the network so that we can accept risk in areas and still protect the more critical systems. So that's the core mission of the risk management executive, figuring out where you can accept risk, figuring out and deciding where you want to control risk and provide higher levels of protection, and then making sure that as you go through that decision process, you haven't put more sensitive missions at risk when you expose yourself on the less critical areas. And part of that, the implication of that is there will be some bad things happening in areas where we've accepted risk. And we will just accept that fact, recover quickly, and move on. But that will be part of a deliberate decision process that says that we're going to put most of our money and investments where it's most important, accept some risk in other areas, and then realize that there are liable to be some consequences that we can just accept and work through without mission impact. One of the advantages from an organizational standpoint of the reorg is that the risk management executive will be part of the agency's principal staff. And that positions us in a way that we can be part of the initial planning process for new capabilities, new mission sets that come into DISA, so we can get the risk management discussion early in the development and design process, so we apply the right level of resources, the right level of security controls, et cetera, as a new mission is brought into the agency.
And so as you're building out this new risk management office or center, I mean, how do you do it? Are there models out there that you've looked to either in the public sector or the private sector when you take a risk management approach to cybersecurity?
Yeah. In fact, when General Hawkins first pulled me aside and described what he wanted me to do, he gave me some assigned reading from various industry partners who have stood up a corporate risk management officer or risk management executive and described how they have taken on that role. And, you know, Deloitte, for example, has done a lot of work in that direction and did some reading on what they did and how they approached it. One of the challenges that we are just really scratching the surface on is that in the corporate world, a lot more is driven financially than in DoD as part of the risk acceptance side of things. In other words, in the corporate side, there's a clearer definition of financial risk, where for us there's the counterpart of mission risk and what level of money is invested to assure mission success. So we're trying to figure out how to take the industry concepts and apply it to the DoD mission space. But there is definitely a lot we can learn, and we are learning from equivalent efforts in industry.
Let me go back to the comment you made about the fact that there will be some bad things that happen as you accept risk in certain areas. That sounds good and it makes sense, but it strikes me that there are other stakeholders here besides DISA. When something bad does happen and somebody gets upset in OSD or in Capitol Hill, it seems like the tendency is going to be, don't ever let that happen again. You took too much risk. So is there some upfront work you need to do here to communicate to those other stakeholders why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we're working through the cloud security guide and applying this risk acceptance tenet to the DoD efforts for the commercial cloud, we're trying to make sure that it's very clear what level of risk is being accepted under the various paths that you can take to leverage the commercial cloud, so that the mission owners will be the ones making the ultimate decision as to what level of risk they're willing to take for a specific mission. So we will build out infrastructure, guidelines, security requirements, and processes, and then mission owners will map their mission to those standards and to those options, essentially to do that mapping of mission requirement to risk acceptance, with us doing our best to keep them informed of what level of risk they're accepting as they go into the different options. So for example, if you decide that your mission is one that we would categorize as level two under the cloud security guide, that gives you a lot of flexibility to go in and take advantage of some very low-cost options. But there's some risk associated with that. You're essentially accepting standard commercial-grade security, and there is the possibility that your system would be compromised or defaced or content changed without us having the ability to apply all of DoD defenses against that system. It would be incumbent on the mission owner to say, I will accept the risk that that might happen. I'll have the processes in place to quickly recover, and I'll have the ability to go back and inform whatever mission partners would be impacted that, you know, what happened and what the recovery actions would be.
Let me ask one more sort of philosophical question, which is, in your example of the, you know, a risk to one is a risk to all philosophy and needing to get away from that, you know, the answer to this is maybe self-evident, but why is it important to get away from that? Why can you not secure everything? Is it just a matter of cost?
I think it is. It is partially cost. It's capacity to do the highest level of cybersecurity. We have a very well-resourced, motivated set of adversaries that could potentially work to attack DoD computing interests. So I think it just makes sense to say, let's focus our defenses on the most critical things and make sure we get that right, and allow some other places to be less well protected to gain some efficiency so we can invest more in the more critical missions. At least today, the reality is that we will have some exposure, and our design and processes need to be in place to contain that in a way that when something bad happens, it doesn't spill over and impact critical missions.